are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is Valentine's Day Eve, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. It is. Turn that cell phone off, Mr. Meehan. We discussed this.
You know, you give him from the start.
You give him instructions. I knew he'd be trouble. Well, I knew it.
It's a dating site. I didn't get back to the person.
Oh, okay. Well, call him later. Lady!
Lady!
All right. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Independent films are the focus of today's State of the Arts, with three guests championing this cause and championing.
Yeah.
You like that?
You championing. You can't buy this through the mail anymore.
Yeah. So drunk. In studio with us today, we have two guests, filmmaker Cyrus Maricor and actor, writer, defendant Christopher Meehan. We're always it's always nice to have both of them here. So a little applause there, right? Mm-hmm. And I just realized that both of you have the same initials. Did you know that?
Yes. Yeah. We both have one testicle.
Really?
Yes. There's one between us.
Okay.
It's not even.
He has the left, I have the right.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, so that's much so he's fun to dance with.
It's a yin.
Oh, and,
you know what? I'm just
sorry.
It's a true story. It's
joining
good to be
us
on the air.
I'm sorry, Michael. Would you tell us
on the telephone from beautiful Sedona, Arizona, the executive director of the Sedona International Film Festival, Patrick Schweiss. We'll look forward to speaking with him in just a few moments. But, Paul, let me ask you first, how was your week?
It was fine until I got here. He's throwing me. Meehan's too close to me. Cyrus, I know I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Meehan, I don't know.
Well, he's a jokester, you know.
That's probably the most polite way to put it, I guess. Yes. Jokester is probably the nicest way to go. No, my week is fine. I gave a plug to Theo and Juliet, the people who took my pictures.
Oh, you did.
And
did you?
I saw the pictures, and they're up on my site, paulstrolley.com, and they turned out great. I'm just delighted with them, and cannot recommend
them.
Theo. Oh,
I
you did?
Them. I voted. Yeah.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that was you?
That was me.
Because that person didn't identify themselves.
That's
sort of
actually, they just, wonderful reputation,
yeah,
by the way.
I was amazed, truthfully, honestly.
Amazed.
They made you look phenomenal.
That's real. I love that.
It was authentically Paul. Just I got the weirdness. I got that whole shadow person inside of him right up front. Anyway.
Everything.
All I hope for is that my eyes convey that I'm all dead inside and I have no dream.
That's
if that comes across.
That's the photographer's job. Let me tell the truth. Really capture your Paul.
Michael, how was your week before we
You know what? Thanks for asking. Super busy coming into the home stretch, the finale of LA's Next Great Stage Star. Musical theater competition that we do every year at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. So, yeah, that's exciting. And we have 20 young, amazing kids that'll be narrowed down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 come Sunday.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Wow. That flew by.
I know. 6 weeks of competition.
And it's always sold out.
Completely sold out. To the rafters sold out.
Yeah.
Very exciting stuff.
That's a huge, a wonderful thing that Michael does. And if you ever have a chance to attend it, the great thing about it is that unlike a lot of the TV talent competition shows, it's very encouraging, very supportive, and they give them good advice. And everyone who's done it, I talked to when I did some stand up for it a while ago, and got a chance to talk to the kids afterwards. They love it; they absolutely do.
Yeah, it's a big step in the right direction for them. So half of the 20 will walk out with agents in arm and starting a professional career,
and the other half, and the other half are just beaten about the face and neck.
Not at all. You know what?
No,
interestingly enough, last year. 2 years ago, one of our contestants, somebody has to come in last, right?
Yeah.
You've got 20 contestants.
I know that
the person
well.
Who came in last went out for her first audition after the competition and nailed the role of Nessa Rose in the U.S. National Tour of Wicked.
And you've had a number of them have had Broadway debuts, right?
We have 8 kids that have already made their Broadway debuts.
Jeez, unbelievable.
And then 2 of them are on their second and third Broadway shows, respectively.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
Very exciting.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So,
let's open up the airwaves to our telephonic guest.
Absolutely.
Michael, would you give him the first intro?
I certainly will. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, has been the director of the Sedona International Film Festival for 10 years and has overseen the expansion of the festival from a weekend festival to a 9-day celebration of independent film. In addition, he has given the festival a year-round presence with the creation of the festival's art house theater venue, the Mary D. Fisher Theater, located in Sedona, Arizona. Please welcome Patrick Schweiss.
Patrick!
Thanks, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, are you, sir? I'm thrilled to be with you. I've been listening to your show, and you guys are crazy. I love you already.
We are. Well, you know, it's crazier today because of who we have.
That's it.
Yeah,
you made me want to leave my Red Rocks and come out and see that competition.
Oh,
that.
My
Sounds
God.
Fantastic. Right.
Oh, you'd be entirely welcome. So, Patrick, for our listeners that may not be familiar with Sedona International Film Festival, and it's the 20th anniversary one this year, correct?
It is indeed, yes.
And please let them know who you are tributing this year. It's very
sure,
exciting.
We're very excited. Our festival honoree, we've got a few of them, but our main festival honoree, our biggest festival honoree, is Susan Sarandon. She'll be coming this year and getting our Lifetime Achievement Award. And we're premiering a couple of films that she's actually been producing rather than starring in, although she is the voice of one of the films, These Storied Streets. She's also a major producer of Waiting for Mamou. So she's going to be joined by the CNN Hero of the Year, Mamou, Pushpa Basnett, and Morgan Spurlock, who's a co-executive producer on the project.
Oh, wow.
So they're all coming. We got a star-studded group there for that screening.
Oh, wow.
Which is really fantastic. We're also honoring Mariel Hemingway, and we're having Ed Asner will be here. Stephanie Powers, we're doing a tribute to Stephanie Powers and her career as a humanitarian, and all sorts of wonderful things. We've got a lot of great things happening here. We're also opening the festival with, I don't know if any of you remember, you may not be old enough, but if any of you remember Little House on the Prairie and the woman who played Nellie Olson, Alison Arngren.
Alison Arngren, yes. It's got Bitch in the title, doesn't it?
It's got Bitch in the title, and hey, we're on the internet. I can say that.
Yeah.
She has a live one-woman stage show that's called Confessions of a Prairie Bitch.
Yeah.
That is absolutely outrageous. It's a one-woman show, and she's performing that twice here at our festival with us.
Yeah.
So we're absolutely thrilled about that and thrilled to honor her and welcome her here. And it's just going to be a great, great week all the way around. We've got a lot of great things happening, including The Beating, which is in our Shorts with a Twist program.
Oh, yeah. No, we're very, very excited about that. Actually, Allison's show was out here in Los Angeles. Chris, I don't know if you remember it. Allison Engram show when it was here, but it was a big success. It played at the venue that is now the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. It used to be called the Tamarind up on Franklin by the Scientology Center.
Oh, that's right.
I believe
that's
it played
right.
up there.
I'm thinking of Michael Landon's hair right now. So.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Well,
can't get that image out of your head.
Don't hold up anything shiny when you're talking to Chris. Let me tell you.
Oh my gosh, she's had a flashback of Highway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Highway to Heaven. Oh, jeez. I'm in a spiral. I'm off. I'm logging off.
Cyrus, give him a cookie. Okay. Patrick, when you the growth of the Sedona Film Festival that sounds like quite the journey, but a 9-day festival, that's longer than most. That has to be a heroic effort.
It was, and I blessed with a very good board of directors and incredible staff and some great volunteers. But basically, I had to justify having a year round job to do what is glorified event planner,
making
a film festival. So when I started out, and everyone would say to me, okay, you got a film festival on a weekend of the year. What do you do the rest of the year? And so we kind of started doing this monthly cinema series where we'd bring in an independent film and a filmmaker and rent a theater and have a great, premiere and dialogue with the filmmaker, and suddenly that went to twice a month and then three times a month, and pretty soon we were doing something almost every week of the year. And gradually, as we did this, the festival started taking off and went to a 4-day festival and a 5-day festival, and then we thought, why not bookend two weekends and get two different batches of people in town?
Yeah.
So, and then from that was the springboard. We've had tremendous success and growth with that. That was the springboard for us to launch our own art house theater venue that we now operate.
Yeah, the Mary D. Fisher.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But the other thing, too, is that, there's so many films going on. You not only have the Mary D. Fisher, but you have the large venue across the street that's like a Cineplex, right? Six different theaters?
We do, yeah. We rent four of the six theaters from Harkins Theater Chain here. So there's right across the street are the four venues, our own venue right here, and then we have a 750-seat performing arts center that we also utilize. It's at the high school.
Holy cow.
So a lot of great things happening and a lot of wonderful parties every single night of the festival and celebrity guests and, of course, filmmaker conversations and dialogues and workshops. It's a great, great week to be in Sedona.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward
to it.
Patrick,
it's Michael Sterling. Let me ask you a quick question here. What is the average amount of films that get submitted for festival such as yours?
Well, ours, and again, I can't speak for anybody else's other than ours, but we get about 1,200 films in for submission for consideration. Wow. And we've been down to the 160-ish that show at our festival. We have 168 this year. So it's
a
very, very
competitive. A committee, if you will, of people who watch those 1,200 films?
We do. We do. We have a screening committee of about 25 people, and they are from all walks of life. Because what we want to have our screening committee represent the kind of people that are going to be in our theaters. Mm-hmm. And not everyone that comes to the theaters for the film festival is a Hollywood actor or director or producer. They are normal people who love independent film and go to theaters and see. So we want our screening committee to reflect that and reflect what people look for in a film. And they rate all the films in 8 different categories and give them scores and comments and those kind of things. And then we weed out and pick the best from that group.
Well, that's fantastic. That's nice to hear, because we're delighted that The Beating, our film by Miracore Productions, got accepted. And it's nice to know that, those odds are about 1 out of 10, which is pretty darn
they
good.
They are. And you have an excellent film, and I'm not saying that to suck up, I promise you. yours is in one of my favorites, probably my favorite program of the festival, I have to say, the Shorts with a Twist program. And not only is your film wonderful and fits perfectly into that category, you actually have competed in the far most competitive group. You know, of those 1,200 films that come in, about probably 750 or 800 of them are shorts.
Oh, wow.
And
we
take 50 shorts. Wow. So you even have a tougher competition than probably the features and documentaries do, because there's so many more of you than there are of them.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear, Patrick. Thank you so much. That means a great deal. I want to, Michael, would you throw the information out there for people, for our listeners who want
Absolutely.
To attend?
Absolutely. I mean, as it says here on what I'm looking at, it is, Paul, this sounds like the hottest ticket in town, right?
Oh, no, it's huge.
Be,
it's
right?
huge.
Beautiful
it
setting
yeah.
and amazing movies like this. And the greatest celebration of the very best, as we're hearing from Patrick. And what you do to get tickets, ladies and gentlemen, and information is go to the website SedonaFilmFestival.org. And the dates of this festival are February 22nd through March 2nd. And do it quicker than later.
Well, actually, there's one thing. Patrick, when do it's the 17th when tickets go on sale to the public? Okay.
Yeah, tickets go on sale to the public on Monday the 17th. Just log on to our website, and they'll have it. We have a really super cool interactive grid that will allow you to go on and click on any time block and buy tickets to whatever's left in that time block.
No, it's great. And, you know, Cyrus and I were talking about this. We see a lot of websites looking at the different film festivals, and yours was, you know, easy to navigate and very well put together.
Extremely informative.
Isn't it great?
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Nice.
Thank you.
To be a telephone number, too. Perhaps I was remiss in not getting giving this out. But am I correct, Patrick? People can call 928-282-1177?
Yes, that is correct.
Perfect. Okay. And another website, SedonaFilmFestival.org. Not another one, but the same one.
Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get to our two in-studio guests here, but we really look forward to seeing you in just a couple of weeks. And
that sounds great. Look forward to having you guys here and sharing your film with the world.
Great. Thank you so much,
thank
Patrick.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Patrick.
Bye now.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Bye. Nice guy.
Very nice.
Nice guy.
Great name.
Yeah.
Patrick
Schweiss.
Yeah, Schweiss
yeah.
is nice, you know.
Yeah. I always throw those names to. I always throw those names to
Schweiss
Michael
is nice.
Because he
Patrick Schweiss is nice. That's yes. very good. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry.
You
Paul,
don't mind if I continue, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is a
I'll
microphone.
Just get back
I
to this.
This was a lollipop.
Our next guest attained his master's certification in documentary film from the George Washington University in 2002, and completed the University of California, Los Angeles Extension certification. Program in directing in 2012. His most recent short, The Beating, is his second major fictional film. His previous film, Gratitude, which starred our other guest, Christopher Meehan, made the festival circuit rounds in 2012, won Best Comedy at the Philadelphia Independent Film Festival, and was accepted into major film festivals, including, I can never say this, Oaxaca International Film Festival, yes. Hollywood Real Independent Film Festival, TVIFF, and Action on Film Festival. He is the founder of Miracore Productions, a film and multimedia production company. Please welcome Cyrus Miracore.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Well,
thank
you
great
so
to
much.
Meet you, Paul.
Paul,
it's
one thing, Osaka
yeah.
is in Japan. So.
No.
Yeah.
Oaxaca, yes.
Oaxaca. Wasabi is this. What's
Sorry.
Wasabi?
What?
The sauce? Wasabi?
Wasabi,
sauce.
Yes. Wasabi film.
Yes. I'm learning everything.
And, yeah, just, so how you been?
I've been great. Thank you. thank you for having me on.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. We're very excited about it. You know, we're talking independent film here today, but I'm curious to, or not curious, but I want to share with people how this whole journey of the three of us working together started, and it was with gratitude. And how was it that you picked Chris started as, because, you know, this is important to say. This story is important to say, because it just goes to show that if you're a good actor, people will pick up on it, even if they don't see you in an acting context. I think so.
Yeah, you pick up on personality.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yes, I would.
Thank you.
I was just trying to come up with a story how we met.
The nodding is not especially audible.
Oh, was
we
that
appreciate it. Yeah. But if you could stick with the verbal, that would help us.
That's a great question, Paul. Sirius?
I casted him the way I do most things. That's people do stuff for me, and then I'm like, hey, you look like you could be in the movies.
Okay, you're going to have to clarify that right now.
Stuff.
If you could give us just
no,
a little...
you know, actually, I was having my place painted, and Chris came over and he did that for me. And talking to him,
he was a random hire, and that's...
he was a friend of mine, had met him previously, and I wanted to have my place painted.
Well, who hasn't met the guy?
Cherie, I know. I was making the moves on her at the Apple Store.
So you're going to have to be more specific.
So, you know, as far as if my agent's listening, I was working on a part as a painter, and that's why I was painting his apartment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was his agent.
Yes.
No, but honestly, I was impressed just in talking to him, and I found out, you know, he had an extensive resume and had done a lot of things out there, and a great comedian and just fun to talk to. And I was in the middle of writing Gratitude at that point in time, and he just sort of took me as the type of guy I could bring in and make play that role.
Which is a real leap of faith, because for our listeners, you can see Gratitude if you want to watch it. It's not the website is mirrorcore.com, just like it sounds. Mirror and then like core of an apple.com. And if you click on projects, you'll be able to watch the entire film of Gratitude.
That's correct.
But it's a tremendous leap of faith, though, because you look at watching the film. It's a short. It's 23 minutes.
It's 19.
Oh, 19 minutes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, 19 minutes. But it's just, I mean, Chris, I mean, when these went to film festivals, Chris was winning awards for acting. And between him and Layla, is that?
Layla Arias, yeah.
They really, really carry it. And that was a lot. Is it a real leap of faith for you as a filmmaker to sort of hand that over?
You know, I mean, you do your due diligence.
Be careful when you say that, buddy.
No, I mean, you know, making sure that actually he could do the role. We did readings, and so, you know, it was because, A, I saw the personality. I knew he could do it, but he also could back it up. He had the chops to back it up for me.
So. Yeah. The interesting thing about, and I know Michael will attest to this, too, the interesting about Chris, who we're talking about like he's not here.
Which is like, well, not easy.
Like those fans, like Dangerfield used to say about the Dangerfield used to say, you know you're old when your family talks about you in front of you. It's like, what do you want to do with Pop? And Pop's sitting right there. But Michael, you will attest to this, that Chris is a very funny fellow and does that primarily. Is usually most of your work is comedic, right, Chris? Would you say?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
But
you see my pain.
but gratitude is not. And that's I think that's what's so impressive for me in watching it was that it's a very, very dark role for you. You're a bit of a prick.
I get a lot of those jerky, the incompetent experts. But I didn't really buy Sirius's script. I was like, no one speaks this way. As chefs don't talk this way. And when we were doing the lines, there was a chef there in the kitchen. And he thought I was a chef, so it was testament to his dialogue. But yeah, God, they can really be pricks. Yeah. Chefs are.
To that, Sirius, would you give our listeners sort of a synopsis of what Gratitude's about as much as you can?
As much as I think is good, yeah. It's about a chef who is getting harassed by her boss for doing a horrible job, and she ends up running into a fish that eventually starts talking to her. And that sort of, as you would expect, starts to change the course of events. Yeah.
It's a great short. Have you seen it, Michael?
I have not seen that one.
No. I'll have to send you the link to it.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
That link, mirrorcore.com.
I saw The Beating, of course.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
That was a great experience. It was
Chris,
really
you are the chef in Gratitude?
Yeah, I have straight hair in it, actually.
Go figure.
I have curly hair, and you usually look like a nice guy with curly hair.
Yeah.
With, like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have. You know, Paul, we've said this before, though you said it.
Yeah.
So sad, isn't it?
Yeah. No, what were you. You just made me think of something, and now it's completely gone out of my head. Say it again.
Yeah, I never see Paul get into offbeat with his show.
He's flummoxed.
Now you're here.
You know what's great working with Cirrus? He's such a pro. Besides just being a director, he also manages a project well. So you just kind of feel it's collaborative, but he really is actually telling you what to do, but you feel like you have input.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
that's a good craft.
Thank you for saying that.
That's a mark of a good director, wouldn't you say?
That is a good. Yes, it is. No. Yes, it is.
Well, something we said, Paul said, alluded to this earlier, and it's true. I've always said this, Paul. You know this, that comedians make the best dramatic actors,
mm-hmm.
and it's not necessarily the other way around.
No, that's true, because it's the comedy's so much more difficult.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
And
I, frankly, Mr. Chris Meehan, was very taken by your. Performance and something that I saw that you did.
Oh, this was when we did the screening of The Beating at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. It was preceded by another short called Resonance of Love.
That's it.
That Chris was in. That was really, really well done.
Yeah, that was great. That was fun.
Did you win an award for that one?
I don't.
Paul mentioned you
that,
won several acting awards.
That was with gratitude.
That's just going out to festivals now.
That's going out to festivals now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Resonance of Love. It's another one of the productions that we did. And I took Chris and another great actress, Ariel.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful little piece.
Yeah. It is a wonderful little piece, isn't it? Yeah. That is a wonderful.
Yes, okay.
What are we talking about?
No, you know what? That was a double. I didn't mean that to be that.
You didn't mean it to be a double entendre?
Yes.
Oh, Kels the Priest. Cirrus, now when you were done, you know, I think there's a lot of people who would agree with this, that, you know, short films can be. You know, it's not really a monetary thing. It's more about sort of recognition for the production. All people would agree with that.
Yeah.
So why, after, even though Gratitude was so successful, why Resonance of Love and why The Beating afterwards? So why do more short films? Just because of the opportunity, because of telling the tale?
Because I want to do it. I mean, you know, it's kind of like asking an actor, why are you acting? And no matter what, you can possibly get into why paint. I mean, it's something that's sort of inside. You see images, you get a story, you catch a story, and you're like, I want to be able to show everybody this story. So that's really where it comes from. It's not a lucrative prospect usually doing a short film. You may get lucky, but usually not. And you're also doing it to sort of, you know, get a portfolio and work towards larger projects.
Right.
Cirrus, did you know always in your youth that you wanted to be a filmmaker?
I think I discovered pretty early on. I don't think I really had the concept of, you know, what a filmmaker was, although I went to movies all the time. I didn't really relate that I could get out there and do that. But I think, you know, towards early high school, I had a fantastic film teacher, and probably one of the best film teachers ever in that experience in high school, Mr. William Blackwell, who...
Not related to Mr. Blackwell.
No. But creative in his own right, amazingly so. And from there I just think I started taking it more seriously and just sort of took as many classes, read as many books as I could, and eventually...
So very influential. Transitioned.
Extremely. Yeah. Extremely, yeah.
But we're glad that he was, made that kind of impact on you, because you're doing good work.
I hope so.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. Look at the reception you've had from... The Beating.
Speaking of that, so we're very excited about that. We, as we know from the first conversation we have, Sedona International Film Festival. We have a couple of other film festivals that we can't announce just yet because they haven't put their notices out publicly, but we do have a couple more that we're excited about. And also, and this really, and I know that Cirrus is just as excited as I am about this, but Columbia College in Chicago, one of the film schools in the country, has taken it on for their course of study for short film production. They're using our script as a template, and the students are going to sort of follow our model of pre-production. Mm-hmm. And then when it's all done, Cirrus and I will go to Chicago and speak to the students and share our experiences of... 'cause it's very, you know, it's unlike... It's a totally different animal producing a short film versus... producing. What would your opinion, what's the glaring things that are the biggest differences aside from lack of funds?
Well, it's obviously the length. The length of it is the biggest thing. Yes.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, you know, that's really the biggest difference is there. One is that you're fitting a very tight story, right? You have to get all of the fat out of it in order to be able to tell a very coherent story to everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. But, you know, the fact that we're into this, the Columbia program is really a testament, I think, to the script and the writing. Which I don't think we've told anybody what your role is in The Beating.
Oh, no,
and if
yeah.
we did, I missed that.
Well, so. No, yes. Yeah. Well, Cirrus and I, Cirrus likes to say that I wrote the film. But it's really not fair to say that, because while I wrote the initial drafts, it was very collaborative leading up until, you know, through the 30 drafts that we put together. Cyrus is insisting that he doesn't take a writing credit for it, but I always felt that he should, because of how much he flavored the
He wanted me to take a writing credit until he found out people liked it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. After that, it was
once we got accepted to the festival.
Card.
Yes, it's all
that
old
routine. A single title card.
Yeah. Put the version 2 title cards in place, please.
You know what's attractive, besides you guys just being attractive, is that you're very attractive men. You know, and I say that in a really creepy way,
yes,
actually. Besides directing, Cyrus is a very good businessman, and that's attractive for anything because he knows how to get stuff done. And you're very fastidious as far as details. And someone like me who's all over the place, it's like that's such an attractive quality. And to get any project done, as you know, Michael, as well, with like producing these shows, you really need that craft, and I don't have it. So, you know, I just be.
No, that's not entirely true, because you do those, the Chris Meehan International Film Festival.
That's right.
That's a huge.
That was barely put together.
Big effort.
That was barely put together, and my neighbor helped me, and she's.
But it was a huge success.
It was. You know what? You're right. It was huge. Yeah. I winged it. Just imagine if I was organized. No. Well, thanks, guys. This is a love fest. This is great.
I gotta say, getting back to what we were talking about with the short films, I think that when we were talking about the difference, I think one of the reasons I love the art form so much is because, unlike things that are dictated by the marketplace, like your features and television programs and pilots, you do a short film, and when you're done telling your story, it's over. And you're not, you know, you can have a 5-minute story to tell. You can have a 20-minute story to tell. In the beating, we have an 11-minute story.
And one of the biggest values is, you know, to doing this type of work is that I don't, as a director, usually have somebody else over my shoulder telling me what to do, unless, of course, they're the writer and one of the actors. And then you have to work with that as well. But that's the biggest thing, is really just being able to really try and get, you know, on into the story exactly what you saw in your head as the director.
Yeah.
When you're working on putting it together. So.
Interesting part of the process for me, because, you know, having not made or been part of this aspect of a short film, shot them before, shot Gratitude, and a couple of others. But the whole idea of remaking or forming the film after it's shot, like, you know, I've written a lot of theater. And with theater, you're always going back to the script. Because you have the script, like, well, no, you just have to say this and walk over there, and if we edit this line, you do. But when you do a film, you're hobbled or limited by whatever you ended up shooting. And when you're doing a short film where you don't have huge budgets or things like that, you have to assemble the film predicated on what you have in the can versus going back to the script. But I think, especially with the beating, I think there's certain things that happened in that sort of process that were far better than what we had on the page.
I think a lot of it was sort of how we shot it, right? We were able to sort of mold performance and mold some tone as we were in the editing process of it. But yeah, that's a big thing that Billy Wilder always says. He was always jealous of all the stage guys, because they got to redo it over and over again until they got it right, and then tweak it again after it had been released to the public. And you know, filmmakers, we don't have that. You have it, you put it together the way you like it, and let it go and see what happens.
Right.
How did you direct Paul? Was there anything, did he start off, I mean, since you wrote it, you would think that he's kind of set in it. It's really in his chemistry. Was he doing anything, or was he just...
It's always a danger when you have someone who's a writer, and they have in their head exactly how they want to see it themselves, and how that character should deliver it. But I think, and Paul may agree or disagree, but I think once you're inside of it and you're dealing with different actors and the way they're delivering lines, from that point you yourself realize that this is taking on a life of its own, and it starts to sort of have its own presence, and the character requires different inputs than what you originally were looking at.
Right. Yes, I think, and when Cyrus was directing it, my character, Richard, who is pretty much in every scene aside from one because of the nature of the tale, we had sort of three different levels of Richard's intensities, and Cyrus would like tweak it. It was almost like you were using percentages. He would say, you know, 40% more of this, and it was really interesting for me to see what Cyrus crafted after the fact depending on which, you know, take he pulled from. And it never really occurred to me how much of character creation is created in editing.
Well, let's also make sure we give credit where credit's due, because crafting is hugely an editing process, and the editor, you know, that was involved really helped to get us put together.
Yes, she did.
Super important.
Yeah, you should stick with her.
Yeah,
I think
I'm
you should
try.
Work with her again.
Seth Ariel?
Archana.
You should marry her.
Yeah, I should maybe.
Archana Shinde.
Yep. Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Wait a minute. So, oh, you're not married? Yeah. I thought you were married.
Yeah, I married my editor.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris has spoken in front of that. He loved his editor so much he married
between her and the boom operator.
Yeah.
And he had a beard.
Yeah.
She was, yes. So, listen, I want to ask you guys something. You said something, Paul, that the Columbia engagement concerning the film is going to be something you're going to go and speak about, and that the students are taking your production plan, and is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what you referred
looking
to?
Looking at all, and because
how do they know that? How do you deliver?
Yes. Well, actually, we had a phenomenal producer named Kimberly Van Leeuwen, who you know has worked with
love
us.
Kim.
She's the artistic director of Sea Glass Theater, and we've known Kim for years. She's the founder of the Griffin Theater in Chicago. But in regard to Chris's comment earlier, I might be fastidious, but I am Chris Meehan compared to Kimberly Van Leeuwen.
Yeah.
She's astonishing. And she kept track of everything. She had this huge binder of the whole process, and it was just a gift we were able to give Columbia as sort of a yardstick, a map for them.
The
they have their own, you know, curriculum and their academic plan. We're just sort of fitting in. But it's a very unique opportunity for them, because unlike the script that they're using, they actually get to meet the director and see the film at the end of the process, because it was actually shot, and we can share our tales.
And either be incredibly disappointed from there or not.
depending on what they... Well, you know, it's interesting, because we don't know what they're going to imagine.
That's right.
You know?
Exactly. But I'm not sure how I'm anticipating that meeting when we actually...
Well, because the thing is that they're not shooting or anything. They're just going through pre-production up to, like, what, the first day of shooting. I mean, I think that's the case. But it's very exciting. Very exciting.
Are you guys going to go there, or they're just using?
They're going to go.
Yeah, we're going to go and talk.
Can I go with you guys?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
You
want to fly?
Everyone else has used them. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Why don't we introduce Meehan?
I think we
since
should.
Since we're taking with us, and we'll give him his.
If we don't,
well,
we're in trouble. So. Yes. Growing up in San Francisco's thriving comedy scene was a divine match for our next guest, as well as a match for the mayhem in the Meehan home. Say that real fast. Along with his brothers Mike and Howard, our next guest turned the chaos into comedy and formed the sketch comedy group the Meehan Brothers. His work with that group has been cited by San Francisco Metropolitan as one of the best pieces of comedy I have ever witnessed in years, and overwhelmingly anything I have seen lately on Saturday Night Live or Comedy Central. In addition to his high-octane physical comedy, he is an established dramatic actor, as we've been talking, and training in New York at the Sanford Meisner's Neighborhood Playhouse and Stetson Studio. On film, he was cast in Emmy Award winner Joe Pavlo's Inside Mamet's Computer. Is that saying it right? Mamet?
Yeah.
Yep. And summertime films, Her Best Move, along with a number of recent projects we will hear about in mere moments. And please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, actor, writer, taxidermist, ambassador to the former Yugoslavia, Chris Meehan.
There he is.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, we're out of time. So thank you so much. It was great having you.
Oof.
How are you?
It was good. I had too much coffee today.
Did you?
Yeah, audition.
Is that something unusual for you?
You know what? I didn't eat, and I went in for the sitcom dad, and on the second adjustment, I started to shake. You know, the script, I was shaking like Keith Richards, being the wacky dad.
Right.
I was just like...
Yeah.
Thank you. Next.
I didn't want to say anything because this is radio, okay, and then you're not visible, obviously, but it looks like you were in
a
gunfight.
I went myself. Ate a Tommy's burger full. I was rushing over. I hadn't eaten. You know, I had the shakes at the audition, and I spilt it all over myself. But I don't usually. I usually, you know, I don't wear clothes like this.
I don't. You know, how old are you? Can I ask you how old you are?
Well, in casting, I think I can play 38, north of 38.
No, the only reason I ask, it's not important. It's just that
I'm 7.
I can't. If I ate a Tommy burger, I would just they're just drop dead right on the side.
It's tomorrow, later tonight, it's going to be like a nail bomb went off.
Yep.
So, I mean. It's
not pretty. Easy.
It's not good.
No. Thank you for that image for our listeners.
Yeah.
The nail bomb.
Wait, are we on?
Yes.
I thought we were just chit-chatting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Beautiful teeth you have, you know.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You too.
Yeah.
You know, well, they were expensive, weren't they?
They, they were expensive. Yeah, yeah. You know, they've been knocked out several times. So,
have they?
Yeah, I just take them out now, and they hit. Yeah. So what are we talking about? What's going on here? Sedona. Sedona's great. Can we talk about festivals for a second?
Are you going to Sedona, by the way?
I'm going to Sedona.
We should mention that Mr. Meehan is in the beating as well. He has a voiceover right at the very start.
Yes.
And that qualifies him as being in the film?
Well, he gets a credit. He gets an IMDb credit.
Yeah, hey now. My star meter shot up to 124,000.
Yeah. Really?
Not shot up, just shot up to that. That's the level. There's 124,000 more successful actors here.
Now, are you going to Sedona?
I'm going to Sedona.
Are you? How are you getting out there? Because I ain't taking you.
There's a bus.
He's got a convertible.
He's got a convertible. Must be in the back. All these gnats in my teeth.
We're going to strap you to the hood like an elk.
Beautiful teeth.
Okay. Whatever gets me there. But they're treating you guys right. I mean, aren't they putting you up?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some of these.
It's a tremendous festival.
Have they said where they're putting you up?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But
Tattoos Against Your Will is the name of the place.
You know what? I mean, come on. Some of them are. Short film filmmaker to actually be put up. Yeah. Even at a short film filmmaker. And that's very rare. And it's a great.
That's
great
a rather country. Affluent city, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Sedona's good.
You probably have nice, good funding for these kinds of things, or they wouldn't offer it to you.
Well, it's nice to hear that we're in such a select company, knowing that they got so many and took so few, especially with the shorts.
Yeah. But it's there's so many illegitimate festivals out there that are just collecting money. I mean, we found that out through the, you know, they have the...
Seriously?
Yeah. Spill Wine in Your Beard and Cheese Festival. Anybody can put a festival on. We went to one. Can I mention the name? No, I shouldn't do that. It was in Pasadena. Anyway.
Don't do that.
It was actually, it was someplace else. They nominated people, right? Yeah. So people get best director, best actor.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my gosh, I've been nominated. Look at all these submissions. I'm nominated. And then you find out it's $150 to go to the banquet. So I think they nominated everybody and just made a killing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But who doesn't want to be nominated? Or anyway.
Did you pay the $150?
I did. I was so lonely. I couldn't bring a day.
Well, you were nominated for four things, weren't you?
Yeah.
You had to pay for everything.
I paid for everything. I had a table all
to
myself.
You know, that happened to me when I was young. I submitted, one of my junior high school teachers submitted a poem I wrote to an anthology called Young America Sings. And it was this poem that I wrote, and it was in Agora Hills, where the publishing house was. And it got in, and it was this big thing. Hey, you know, you got your first poem published. And then they just... And buy the book from us.
Yeah.
You can buy as many copies as you want. And then 3 months later, it's like, well, now there's a leather-bound version, and it's got a gold leaf, and we'll put your and buy it from us. And like 3 months later, it's, well, now there's a new deluxe leather-bound, same poem. You know, it puts your bio in, and it just finally, it's just like, okay.
Do you have a garage filled with these, or did you buy a bunch of boxes?
Look, that's not the point. The point is that you need to be aware of these things. That's what it's
Well,
about.
But you know, I mean, you can't really blame people doing those kinds of things. That's a marketing strategy. It all kind of serves a purpose, doesn't it? It accelerates you as a writer.
Yeah, promote. You know, But it's nice to know. I mean, we were especially happy to find out, especially with the beating, and I know that with Gratitude, the festivals, that Gratitude was selected by. It's always nice to know that you're going to, you know, when you get to the festival and you realize this is not a fly-by-night operation. This is a really nice thing for
And it's social. You meet a lot of people. You do get connections at those things for sure. You know?
Yeah.
And
I think you told me about that connection you got at the last one.
Hello. Hey now. Yeah. But you know what? If you're just sitting around and you can do it on the cheap, short films are the way to go. I mean, you're not going to be a star, but just to have a creative outlet, it's always, I don't know, people poo-poo it, save for a feature, which is a great idea. But, I mean, in the interim, why not shoot a short? I mean, with Cirrus and I, we did Residence of Love, and it's two people talking on a sofa. It did well in the theater, but there's not much that Cirrus could do when we kind of complicated it and did all these things. And then we just ended up like, it's just going to be two people talking on a sofa. He did some creative camera movements to keep motion and keep us going. But we knew it wasn't going to light the world on fire. It was just, this is the genre. This is a simple acting piece of two people talking on a sofa.
Which and you know what?
Is excellent.
And that's just it. You know, we joke a lot with each other but it's really stunningly good, and you are excellent in it, and you really need to recognize that about yourself, because with like we were saying earlier, comedic actors, to have that sense of economy of action and all that, it was very, very impressive. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a trip. You know, working with Ariel.
I mean, Ariel's wonderful too.
Ariel Hart was well. That was a big part of it because she is. I think she's 25, and she has tremendous wisdom. I mean, it makes you believe in reincarnation. She just is a grounded actress in some other. You know, she can really make imaginary circumstances just believable.
She has a 1,000-year-old soul. There's no question.
Yeah,
and it kind of comes across on
and that. A great and yeah. The camera loves her.
Yeah. It loves her, and what's great about the medium is that. I can have a relationship. There's a twist to it, of course, but I can have a relationship in front of a camera with a 25-year-old. You know what I mean? And,
right.
Without being a creepy guy.
No, well, we did have a lot of makeup on set. So.
Yeah.
Well, they shot you through a mattress, I think. I don't know how they worked that out.
But you know, that was
old Doris Day.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
Is he smoking? The guy looks like he's smoking. There's just a haze.
Yeah. What about Matthew McConaughey, man? Wow.
He's on fire.
But he took a – speaking of beating, he took a beating in the Dallas Buyers Club just being that diet and to look like that.
Right. Yeah.
He shows up in The Wolf of Wall Street. I think he must be shooting at the same time because you could see it, man, dehydrated. But that's awesome.
Well, Jared Leto even more so, though. Jared Leto lost even more. Jared Leto was talking about 300 calories a day.
Whoa.
Wow. That's what he was consuming.
Do you think Matthew McConaughey would do a role like that earlier in his career being a face man? I mean, he's done everything, right? So everyone unanimously knows that this guy's a great-looking guy. He's a lot of fun to be with. But to sacrifice your looks and your health.
I will say that he wouldn't have because I don't think that when he was a younger man that Matthew McConaughey was the actor that he is now.
Right, I guess so, right.
Yeah. I don't Meister think that he could have pulled it off in the Dazed and Confused days.
Yeah.
Tom Waits once said, all artists start out emulating the artists that they love. And
right.
It's always about 5, 10 years before you get to the point where you really have your own... Have your own image and vision.
And that would have bummed out Dazed and Confused, too.
Yeah, that really would have.
A cowboy with AIDS.
Yeah, it would have been a completely different
movie. Totally different movie.
Different movie.
It's hard to get giggles out of that. Anyway, back to genocide.
Yeah. I want to actually mention one more thing, because we all have these... there are two films in common, which is The Gratitude and The Beating, but there's another gentleman that... is sort of on this team that has helped. His contribution has been invaluable, and that's the composer Ronan Landa, mm-hmm. who did the music for Gratitude and The Beating. I don't know if he contributed anything to Resonance of Love.
No, he did not.
Good news for Ronan because he actually has a romantic comedy that he scored called Cavemen, which is now available on iTunes and in select theaters. And the film stars Skylar Astin. Do we have Skylar Astin on, or do we have the other Astin kid on?
We had... Patty Duke and Joan Astin's son on, Sean.
Sean. We had Sean Astin on. Okay, so not Skylar Astin. I don't know. Are they brothers?
Yes, they are.
They are. Okay, so the film that Ronan scored stars Skylar Astin, Pitch Perfect, and Camilla Bell, 10,000 BC, and Chad Michael Murray from One Tree Hill. And the soundtrack will be available shortly. But Ronan, as Cirrus will attest, does phenomenal work, and we were very lucky to have him work on both of those projects.
And was Ronan in the Sundance Lab? Wasn't he part of Sundance?
Yeah, part of Sundance Lab.
That guy is so talented.
Another extremely talented. I'm just so lucky. I have all these amazingly talented people around me.
Hey, man.
And we haven't mentioned Victor Avila either.
No.
The DP.
Not mentioned Victor. And we should also call out some of the other people, the actors from The Beating who contributed so much. Chris Wynn, who does a wonderful job in that. Our two young actors, Preston Strother and Gabriel Martinez, who play the two boys in that.
Wasn't one of your actors, we had
Kimberly Van Leeuwen.
Jamie Rudowski as a guest a few months ago, and she was talking about how she cast that one role of the...
Of Gabriel, Martinez, yes. Because it was imperative that we have an actor that had a disability, because mm-hmm. the character has a disability. Mm-hmm. And she found Gabriel, who just hits it out of the park.
At a bus stop.
Yeah, at a bus stop.
Went right up to him and talked to him.
It was actually another casting director who gave her a card, and that's what then put her in touch with Jamie. Who are we forgetting? Amy Farrington is wonderful. Yeah. James Leo, who was on Unforgettable, that television show.
Unforgettable.
He's wonderful in it as well. But and of course, the lovely and talented Mr. Meehan, who's with us.
I almost screwed that whole movie up. I remember you guys just wanted a voiceover, and it was like an hour of like. spelling it out for me.
I have to tell a story about when we were recording the voiceover, because we were recording it live, and I was on the phone in the scene, and it was in Cirrus's apartment. We had converted an area of it to look like this doctor's office. And Chris was in Cirrus's bedroom talking to me on the phone, and we're recording everything off the phone. And because you're working with Chris Meehan and you're doing a very, very serious piece, of course he has to try to make you laugh the entire time. So the first thing he said over the phone was, he made all of this noise, and then he just said, "Oh, Cirrus, your sheets are soft." That was the first thing he said. And what was the other? I heard a bunch of books moving around, and you said, "Cirrus, I didn't know you had a diary." He was like reading through all of this.
What would you expect? Chris Meehan in a bedroom of the producer. Yes. And
he does have soft sheets, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And the man knows how to buy fabric. I'll tell you, that's one thing I, you know.
All right, before we get Egyptian to the cotton. Last, before we get to the Egyptian cotton, before we get to the last part of the show, we got 5 minutes left, and we're going to ask Mr. Meehan about his about a performance mishap or something or some sort of thing that went
wrong.
He must
have a million of them.
He's got to have a ton of them. But in the interim, while he thinks about that, we're going to talk about, give this information out there again. The Beating will be at the Sedona International Film Festival, which runs from February 22nd to March 2nd. We are part of a piece, a program called Shorts with a Twist, and we are Thursday night. Yeah, yeah, I can't shake that moniker.
A twist in your shorts.
Thursday night at 9 p.m., and then we're again on Saturday at noon.
At noon, right. Yeah.
And for tickets, which go on sale Monday the 17th, it's SedonaFilmFestival.org. That's SedonaFilmFestival.org. This year is its 20th year, and of course, honoring Susan Sarandon, who I'm looking forward to meeting there. And also, I want to talk
sure
to
you. Does she know about this?
What?
Does she know about you? This?
Oh, no. That, I'll,
how
are
much
you kidding?
You
I'll stalkerazzi her.
Passive hunting. Passive hunting.
But actually, the one I do want to track down is Ed Asner, because we interviewed Ed Asner on
the show.
Yes,
we did. And you know, I just saw him on doing a guest star role on this television series called Men at Work, which is kind of an off network series, I think, on TBS. And he was he's gained a lot of weight, and he's quite up there in years. I mean, really? It was a little surprising. Yeah, he could barely walk, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. No, I mean, he did a lovely performance for what he was given to do.
He was doing LBJ, I believe, was the one-man show. Not LBJ, FDR.
Yes,
FDR. He was doing the one-man show on FDR. I knew it was one of those three initial.
But he is a lovely man.
Yeah. I'm looking, because he was talking about other projects when we had him on the air, and I wanted to do follow-up with that.
Exactly.
Meehan, do you have a tale of woe, a performance tale of woe, something that went south during performance?
You know what? When I first got to town, I got to audition for a primetime show, and I was very nervous. Had no idea what I was doing. So you go to the bathroom to drink water or whatever, splash water in your face. And I was wearing khaki pants, and I leaned against the counter. And then I was like, "All right, let's do this." You wear that blue shirt and khaki pants, is, you know, because blue books. We all know that. And go in there and do the audition. I just kind of wanted to survive it, just to be, you know, I wasn't going to get the job. I was new to town, but just to be, you know, leave a good impression. And so I did it. I did one take, no adjustment. And I left, and I realized I'd leaned against the counter, and I had a big pee stain across. It wasn't pee. It was water from the counter. Right. So I just looked like I just peed myself. So it wasn't embarrassing when
it
happened.
And that didn't work for you? Did you get it?
I did a Hey, Depends commercial.
I was just going to say, what was
it's
the
so
product?
Easy. Yeah, that's awful. That's awful. So that's kind of embarrassing, but... yeah, there's a lot of it. Now, you know, I'm just bringing that embarrassment into the room. Here I am.
At least wear dark pants.
I can wear dark pants. Yeah. Thank you. But I learned. Yeah. I learned. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the shark skin pants. I remember that. You know. Yeah. I don't. I mean, it's just like, did you? What astound? You wouldn't feel the like moisture or anything. Just,
Paul,
or were you sweating that much?
I'm just
because I know you sweat like, you know, a whore in church.
Yeah, Mike Tyson taking an algebra test.
Oh,
whoa! Hey, Mike, I love you. That was Paul that said
that's good because Mike's actually right here. Mike, join us here, won't you?
That guy, man, is that's a, I love that guy. I actually really do. Anyway, I'm trying
to
bail out here.
And one of his that one man show that he did. Did you see?
That was pretty.
You did?
No, no. I saw clips of it.
Oh,
that was pretty aggressive. I mean, that was out there. But you know, he's a wow, man. I love listening to that guy talk.
I would say, yeah, that's
I do. He's just throwing stuff out. He has no filter, and he just kind of speaks from the heart.
That's true.
It's just boom.
That's true. All right. We are going to wrap it up. It's a pleasure having both of you here.
Yes, it
gentlemen.
Was.
I want to throw out the some websites again. The website, if you would like to see Gratitude or learn about other MiraCorps projects, including It Is Done, which is coming in the future.
Feature that we're developing.
Feature. Yeah. Go to MiraCorps.com. Mirror like mirror and core like the apple.com. And for tickets and information, SedonaFilmFestival.org. And Chris, do you have a website you could share with us?
Yeah, my name, ChristopherMeehan.com. Single ladies out there that go to church once in a while, that make a good living, want to support my art, let's go out. That's ChristopherMeehan.com. No, okay. Seriously, I'm a Scorpio. I'm good. Yep. It's good. Anyway, are we fading?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
all right, guys. This has been great. Yeah,
thanks.
You guys
you're the best.
You guys are the best.
Great sharing it, Michael.
See you on the radio, Paul.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.